When I was at the children's home in Paragould, Arkansas, I was one of the leaders of what is known as the Wilderness Therapy Program, and I've talked about that several times. Oftentimes, we would take young people out into the wilderness, and we would backpack. We'd be out there sometimes 3 days, 4 days, 5 days at a time. Folks, I'll guarantee you this, the one thing that you must do when in the wilderness is be prepared for all kinds of dangers, don't you? We experienced several while we were out there. One of the dangers that we had to confront was low temperatures. There was one night that the temperature dropped down to 15 degrees, and that did not involve the wind chill. Folks, that's cold when you're out there trying to sleep in a 20-degree sleeping bag. Another problem that we faced oftentimes was the rain. We'd often get there about 11 o'clock on Friday nights and enter into the woods and have about a 2 to 3 hour backpack before we bedded down. One night we got there and it started raining, and it didn't quit raining until Sunday afternoon when we left. Now, folks, that first night you stay dry. The second night you don't. You are wet through and through, and it was cold. Another problem that we often encountered was no watering hole. After about 8 hours or so, you begin to run out of water and you need to find water. We'd bring filters, but sometimes we just could not find water that easily. Another problem were very steep inclines or steep declines. Sometimes the problem that we faced was insects or snakes. Chiggers, ticks, hornets, rattlesnakes, water moccasins, folks, we've seen it all out there on the trail. All kinds of dangers. Folks, if you are not prepared for those dangers when you confront them, oftentimes they can present a tremendous problem, can they not? Sometimes they can bring danger and harm to an individual's life. Thus, you must always be prepared for the worst that can happen. I find it interesting when we look into the pages of God's Word that the Bible refers to our Christian lives as a walk, a journey through the wilderness. We see this over and over again. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should rise to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, for ye were sometime children of darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Folks, you and I are presently walking what some refer to as the Christian path. But we are definitely out in the wilderness as long as you and I are in this world. And you and I must always, constantly be aware of the dangers that can present themselves to us as children of the living God. We're going to be presenting two lessons on this particular subject, one this morning and one next Sunday morning. We've entitled this lesson, Dangers Along the Christian's Path. This morning, we're going to be looking at three dangers that you and I can experience as we walk through this old, dark, hard, difficult trail of life. First, you and I can confront the danger of being overcome by sin. I want you to underline the word overcome by sin. There is not one of us who is a Christian who is going to totally, completely escape sin, are we? The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there is no truth in us. You go to the very next chapter and John writes these words. These things have I written unto you that ye sin not. Folks, that was his desire. That was his longing. That ought to be all of our longing. But listen to how he continues. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Every one of us are going to come up against temptation. Every one of us are going to have our lusts enticed. And from time to time, we are going to yield to sin. We're not talking about those occasional lapses into sin. We're talking about an individual being overcome by sin. An individual who ceases his Christian walk and he is now practicing habitually over and over and over again sin and transgression of the law of God. Folks, that is a danger that can confront every child of God. The question is this: how do we overcome this particular danger? When I find myself in that condition, what in the world am I supposed to do? Let me offer up three suggestions. Number one, repent. Folks, repentance is absolutely essential if we're going to stand justified in the sight of God. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. It was Peter who looked at Simon the sorcerer and he said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. Folks, you and I have to change that old way of living. You and I are going to have to die to that particular sin. We're going to have to cease the practice thereof. That is repentance. But this next point is just as vital as that first one. Folks, once you have repented, what you need to do is give yourself desperately, desperately to faithful service to the Almighty God. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Notice what Peter says. He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Folks, once you've walked that aisle, and once you've made the confession of sin, and once prayer has been offered up on your behalf, you need to desperately give yourself to the service of God. And that's not what happens on many occasions. I find individuals who know the truth, they realize their lives are not right in the sight of God, they feel sorrow for that. A sermon is preached, maybe somebody has contacted them and has encouraged them to be faithful, and they walk the aisle, sometimes with tears in their eyes. They write out a card and they list all of their sins, all of their transgressions, and they beg for the forgiveness of the Almighty God. Prayer is offered up, everyone is happy, everyone hugs them, welcomes them back to the family of God. And guess what? Sunday night, they're not even back. Where are you? I thought you wanted to be forgiven. I thought you wanted to be faithful. I thought you wanted to dedicate yourself back to the cause of Christ. Where are you? Folks, it's not enough to walk that aisle. I've seen individuals walk that aisle 10, 15, 20 times. Sometimes for the same sin over and over and over again. Forgive me for missing Bible class. Forgive me for not attending. And then they're not back for Sunday night. They're not back for Wednesday. They're not back next Sunday. Folks, you've got to desperately commit yourself to the service of the Almighty God. Yes, I want to be forgiven. Yes, I want to repent. But then I'm going to do everything I possibly can to be faithful to my God. Nothing is going to keep me away. Folks, I can't make that decision for you. I can't do that for you. Only you can do that. Thirdly, you need to find somebody in the congregation that you trust and that you love, and who loves and trusts you, and get that person to hold you accountable to your Christian faith. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Oh, Victor's talking about crossroadism. No, I'm not. Folks, under that system, they assign somebody to you. You had no option about it. What I'm asking you to do is do it for yourself. I know I struggle. I know I'm weak. I know I need assistance. Find somebody to help you, folks. Two are better than one, the Bible says. When you're struggling, you can call that person and let them know, hey, I'm really struggling. I need some encouragement right now. When you miss, that person will call you. Hey, what's up? Why are you not here? What's wrong with you? Be faithful. Oh, sometimes those individuals can be pretty tough on you, can't they? But that's what you need. That's what you want. I don't want to die and be lost. When I die, I want to be saved, don't you? And if it takes someone confronting me and holding me accountable, then that's exactly what I need to be a faithful child of the living God. Folks, sin can overcome you. There's no if, ands, or buts about that. Secondly, you and I can be caught up in the busyness and the love and the goodness and the blessings of this world. Our God's created a wonderful world, has He not? Folks, when I look at this world and all that's in it, there are a lot of interesting things therein, aren't there? And there are tons of things in this world that are there to challenge us. And there's hundreds of things that can cause us to be very interested in them. And what I find sometimes is that's exactly what transpires with Christians. If there were one thing Victor Eskew could do for the next 5 to 10 years, I'd just quit everything. If I had the money, and I'd travel the world, folks. I'm serious, but you wouldn't see me for a long time. I'd come in and rest, I'd be gone. Guarantee you. There's a bunch to see. I haven't seen Canada. I haven't seen Alaska. There's some things down in South America that I haven't seen. There's some things over there in the Bahamas that I'd still love to go see sometime. Europe, the Greek Isles, the Holy Land, Russia, Africa, China, folks. I could be gone for years and I'd love every minute of it. You know that? I'm serious. That is just no lie. God has made some beautiful things out there. And man has done some wonderful things, hasn't he? You see, the beauty of this world is something that I can get caught up in and say, wow, I'm just going to spend my time enjoying all the wonders of the world. There's challenging things out there too, aren't there? Schooling. Folks, I love to go to school. And my son, he didn't get that from me. He hates it with every fiber of his being. I didn't do near as well in school as he did, but he hates every minute of it. He was so glad when he got that diploma. I'll never go back. You ask him if you ever see him. Michael, you going back to school? Uh-uh. Not unless it's duck school or something like that. But folks, I love school. School's challenging. School's fun. You learn a lot of different things. But you know, you can get so caught up in that stuff, can you not? That it just consumes everything there is about you. Most individuals work in jobs that they love, don't they? You've chosen that career because you enjoy it. There's a lot of interest there. Or maybe you've started a business. And folks, businesses take a lot of time to run. And they're challenging. And you love to be successful. And you love when the money's just pouring in, don't you? That's why you did it. For a profit. There's a lot of things out there that are just fun, aren't they? For some guys, we're in the most fun time of the year that you could ever imagine. Ball season. If you don't believe it, go read Facebook. Every Saturday, every Sunday, that's all you hear. This ball game, that ball game, if this one wins, that one loses, I can be in the, I mean, my team can be, it's almost like they're going to be in some bowl game or something. I mean, complete interest in those things. And folks, it is fun to watch those kind of things. I enjoy a good football game. There's hobbies that we get involved in. I mentioned my son. I don't know where he gets this either. He had to get all this from his mama so you can talk to her. But he loved to duck hunt. Loves it. Folks, but we can get caught up in all of that stuff. And guess what? It can draw our attention away from our spiritual service to the Almighty God. And I look out among members at times, and that's exactly what I see. Members who used to be so faithful and so dedicated, never miss a service, never miss a Bible class, always engaged in the activities of the church. And now all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. Oh, they're still around, but you ask what they're involved in, and it's one of these things of the world, something that's busy. And folks, the reason that it's so dangerous is because the things I'm talking about are not sinful in nature. And sometimes they almost appear as if they are a necessity, don't they? Gotta go to school, gotta go to work. I mean, you hear that all the time. They're necessities. They're have-tos. At least in our minds they are. But what happens is we've slowly gotten drawn away from our Christian life. And we're not where we used to be. And folks, if you are not moving forward, you are moving backward. If you are not on a steady progression upward, you are on possibly a slow decline in a downward direction.
Boy, now that's a
mouthful, isn't it? If you're not growing, folks, you're dying. It's just that simple. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is this. What do we do? How do we overcome that danger? How do we prepare ourselves for that particular time in our life when all of a sudden we find ourselves caught up in the busyness of this world? Number one. Folks, you've got to convince yourself once again that God and all the things associated with Him are the most important thing in the world. You've got to do that. We go to Luke, the 10th chapter, on a regular basis for this particular point. Martha had invited Jesus and His disciples into her home. Folks, if you invite somebody into home, you're going to take care of them, aren't you? And Martha was concerned about them. She wanted them cared for well. The Bible says she was cumbered about much serving. And listen to what Jesus says. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Luke 10:42. Folks, there was one thing that was necessary. There was one thing that was needful. There was one thing that was important. And it was not serving guests. It was sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning His words. The psalmist said in Psalm 142, verse 5, a very interesting statement. I cried unto the Lord and said, Thou art my refuge, listen to this. Thou art my portion in the land of the living. Isn't that amazing? Folks, if you were to ask, someone were to ask you, what is your portion in the land of the living? What would you say? It's my house, it's my work, it's my family. No. The psalmist says, God, You are my portion in the land of the living. Folks, he knew what was the most important thing in life, did he not? If you be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Folks, we've got to stop and we've got to figure out again what's really, really, really important. Is your business more important than Christianity? Is your school more important than your worship and Bible class? Is work more important to you than your relationship with the Almighty God? Folks, stop and reevaluate what's really important. Secondly, and this is hard to do, guys, I have to take an honest inventory of my life. I've got to just stop everything, and I've got to sit down with my schedule, and I've got to ask myself, why am I doing what I am doing? Why am I missing the Bible classes? Why am I missing worship services? Why have I quit teaching Bible classes? Why am I not engaged in the activities of the church? Why? The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 59, I thought upon my ways, listen to this, and I turned my feet to thy testimonies. Isn't that something? He had some turning to do. He had some straightening out to do, folks. But what was the thing that he did first? He says, I thought upon my ways. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, the Bible says that we must search and try ourselves and turn again to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you except ye be reprobate? Guys, it's so easy for me to deceive myself into thinking that I'm okay. I'm not doing anything wrong. What I'm doing is fine. It's not hurting anybody. It's not a transgression of the will of God. And yet it is. Honestly, examine your life. And thirdly, repent. Folks, if I'm not doing what I need to be doing for the kingdom, if I'm not serving faithfully the way I need to be serving, I need to repent. Listen to what Jesus told one of the churches in the book of Revelation. I know thy works. Folks, that's interesting. That tells me that God's watching what's going on in His congregations. He sees Victor Eskew as a member at Oceanside. He sees every member of this body. I know thy works, that thou hast left thy first love. Now listen to this next statement. Repent. And do the first works. Isn't that something? Individuals will say, what does it mean when he says that he's left his first love? The text doesn't specifically enumerate it, does it? There's absolutely no way that any individual can stand up before you and pinpoint it precisely. But what's interesting is what he tells them when he says repent. Repent and what? Do the first works. It had something to do with their faithful, dedicated service to God. Doctrinally, folks, they were just as sound as they could be. Our Lord even commends them for their soundness. But they had still left their first love. They weren't doing the works that needed to be done. Repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Folks, there's some individuals in the kingdom who need to repent and do the first works. You're caught up in some things that, no, they're not sinful, but they're taking you away from your Christian service. Examine yourselves, folks, whether you be in the faith. Here's a third one, and this one's tough. And it happens to a lot of individuals. The third danger we want to talk about is a loss of one's Christian enthusiasm. There's just no joy in my service anymore. Oh yeah, I still go. I go through the motions. I trudge along. I don't enjoy any of it. In fact, sometimes if I can find an excuse, I'll just not go. Don't enjoy Bible classes. Don't like those lessons that preacher preaches. It's just not fun anymore. Folks, there's no joy. There's no enthusiasm. There's no fire. There's no spark. I do it, why? Because I know I'm supposed to. I do it out of duty. But there's no burning, itching desire to do it. Maybe you do it because mama wants you to, or grandmama wants you to. That's the only reason you do it. Folks, the question is, how in the world do I put that spark back in my life? How do I, once again, enjoy what I'm doing? What I find interesting is the definition of enthusiasm. It comes from two Greek words. One is en, and the other is theos, meaning God. Enthusiasm is God in us. Folks, what happens when an individual is not enthused anymore? He no longer has God in him. That's the problem, isn't it? So the question is, what do I need to do to get enthused again? Let me give you 3 points very briefly. Number one, folks, you need to sit down and you need to contemplate the grace of the Almighty God. That's what you need to do. Grace is God's most wonderful gift to man, isn't it? Grace is something that God did for you that you could not do for yourself. Grace is God's help for you. You are dead. You are lost in sin. You are dying. You are destined to a devil's hell. And there was absolutely nothing you could do to change that. Not you. And God intervenes, does He not? He looks down and He says, "My, I love that person. I love Victor Eskew, and I don't want him to die. I don't want him condemned to eternity in hell. So I'll send my son, Jesus Christ, to die for him on the cross of Calvary. To pay the debt for his sins. To shed his blood so Vic doesn't have to." Because that's the penalty against sin, isn't it? "I'm going to bestow upon him my precious word so that he can know what I've done and how to reap the benefits of my grace in his life." Folks, when we get too caught up in the world, these spiritual things don't matter much to us. You know that? That's why we have to stop sometime and look at the grace of God again. "Oh, Vic, that won't do it." It did it for Paul. "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." 1 Corinthians 15:10. Folks, the Apostle Paul was unstoppable, wasn't he? The Apostle Paul was a man who was energized every day to do the work of the Almighty God. He was a man who could labor from sunup till sundown in the kingdom and never get tired. And if there's ever an individual who had an excuse to quit, it would have been Paul. "It's too hard. It's too difficult. I'm not getting anything out of it." Not physically. Folks, it was literally killing, wasn't it? And yet he says, "I've labored more abundantly than they all." But it wasn't Paul doing it. He says it's the grace of God that's doing it. We've got to get focused on God's grace, don't we? Secondly, you need to get involved in a diligent study of the Word of God. Not long ago, I studied up here till about 11:30 or 12 on a Saturday. Usually go home, grab a little something to eat. But I needed to cut the grass, so I cut the grass. Got through about 2. Kathleen and I said, "Well, we'll go out and grab something to eat. We We looked at the radar. Rain was coming. We wanted to go walk on the beach a little while. So we go walk on the beach. We get home. It's about 4:30. And guess what? Dick hadn't ate a thing all day. This old boy was hungry. I think they call it famished. Isn't that what it is? Something like that. I said, I've got to eat something. We didn't even stop to eat anything. And Kathleen had the perfect food for me. DiGiorno's pizza. She popped that in the oven, and there I was, sitting in that chair for about 30, 40 minutes. Man, I was struggling. I was tired. I smelled that stuff cooking. I took it out of the oven, started eating it. She went, this stuff ain't even done. It sure was good, though. About 5:30, man, this kid came alive. That pizza was working. I was ready to roll again. Folks, if you let your Christian life go that way, the same thing's going to happen to your inner man, is it not? You're going to get down. You're going to get tired. You need to feed yourself, nourish yourself on the Word of God. You need to drink deeply from the wells of God's Word. And you need to eat much of the Word of God. Jesus said that he had water, which if he gives it to a man, he shall never thirst again. But it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4, verse 14. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6, 35. Folks, how do you come to Jesus Christ? It's by means of the Word of God, is it not? John 6, 44 and 45. How do you believe on the Son of God? It's by means of the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. If you come to me, you'll what? Never hunger. If you believe on me, you shall never thirst. And folks, the way you do both of those things is by partaking of the Word of the living God. You can't take this book home and throw it on your shelf and let it just sit there the rest of the week. Folks, we got to do some partaking of what's in this book if we want to be strong and energized in our Christian lives. Third thing I'd ask you to do is this. Do something that you haven't been doing. Folks, we get so complacent about our Christianity. Take a class, a Bible class somewhere, and there's a bunch of them. Florida School of Preaching offers classes over at West Kinnett. You can go on to the Online Academy of Biblical Studies and you can enroll in a Bible class there. You can call World Video Bible School and you can order lessons from them. Folks, challenge yourself. Look through those list of courses and say, hey, I'm going to take this class and every Monday night or Tuesday night or Thursday night or Saturday morning, I'm going to make dead certain that I take this class. Do something that you haven't been doing. Here's the one I really want everybody to do. And I wish every member of the church would do this for 1 year. Ready for this? You just make up your mind today, starting January the 1st, I'm going to do everything the church does. Everything. If it's adopt a highway and I got to go pick up trash, I'm going to be there. If it's a youth day, I'm going to be there. I'm going to help prepare for it. I'm going to be involved in it. If I can, I'm going to clean up after it. If it's a fellowship meal, I'm going to be there. If it's a party, I'm going to be there. If it's a gospel meeting, I'm going to be there. If it's a goal planning day, I'm going to be there. It doesn't matter what it is, folks. You just take that calendar and you mark it on your calendar. I'm going to do everything Oceanside does for the next 365 days. You're going to be amazed at the end of that year. Wow. I didn't know we did so much. That's the first thing you're going to say. And you're going to find some place in there that, guess what? You enjoy doing something. You know that? And you're going to be energized. And if you don't like picking up trash, guess what? Maybe you'll like doing something else. But commit yourself fully, completely, totally to everything Oceanside does and see if it doesn't energize you over the course of the next year. You'll be surprised, folks, I'll guarantee you. Saw a couple on one occasion. They've been out of the church for about a year and a half. That day we were preparing for vacation Bible school when they came back and they rededicated themselves to the cause of Christ. This was when we were at Brookland, Arkansas. 2 o'clock that afternoon, we were moving all the chairs and tables and everything out from the building. And guess who showed up? That couple. And folks, they never stopped. Anything we did, they did. Anytime we had something planned, they were there. Their young people were there, and they were there. And they're still faithful to this day. Folks, you've got to energize yourself in the work of the church. We're walking through dangerous pathway of life. And we're going to reach certain danger points in our lives. And if we don't know how to overcome them, we're either going to be seriously wounded or we will die. Listen to what the psalmist said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23, verse 4. The psalmist was prepared, was he not? Even for the valley, folks. Maybe you're facing a danger point in your life right now. Maybe you're not being that successful. Maybe you need to repent and ask God to forgive you this morning. Won't you do that? Maybe you're not even a child of God, but you want to be. The steps are simple, aren't they? We mentioned a while ago the grace of God. Found in Jesus. And folks, here's how you take advantage of His grace. You believe in Jesus as the Son of God, John 8, 24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3. Confess His precious name. Yes, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32. And be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16, verse 16. Do you need to do that? Won't you come as we stand and sing?